Hello, listeners, and welcome to the 8th episode of the House of Deputies Blue Book podcast. I am your host, President of the House of Deputies, Julia Ayala Harris, and it is my pleasure to guide you through the fascinating world of the General Convention and its interim bodies. This podcast is your bridge to staying informed, engaged, and connected with the pulse of the Episcopal Church, whether you're a deputy to the 81st General Convention, a member of a local parish, or simply a church geek. You have come to the right place for valuable insights, thought-provoking conversations, and a deeper understanding of our church's role in today's rapidly changing world. The General Convention is the governing body of the Episcopal Church, meeting every 3 years. This time we're meeting 2 years later because of the pandemic. It's made up of deputies and bishops from each diocese. And in the months leading up to General Convention, a number of Blue Book reports are created by standing committees, task forces, and what we call interim bodies of the Episcopal Church. Interim because they're bodies between General Conventions. These reports provide background, context, and review process on various church initiatives and programs. They also put forth policy recommendations for priorities, budgets, and potential resolutions for General Convention to consider. In the past, the reports were published in a book with a blue cover, hence the term Blue Book Reports. Brilliant, isn't it? This book helps deputies and bishops prepare for discussions and decisions at General Convention. However, it's important to note the Blue Book is now completely virtual and is no longer a literal book, but that's for the General Convention Office to answer. Some of the key Blue Book reports cover topics like the church's budget, social justice issues, church structure and governance, liturgy and music, ministry programs, ecumenical relations, and more. Blue Book reports shape the agenda and output of each General Convention. They provide critical information that underpins the church's priorities, policies, budget, and administration for the next triennium. Today, we are excited to present the first episode of our special series, Beyond the Blue Book. This series will cover significant subjects for the church that are not included in the Blue Book, but are essential for all deputies to understand. These topics will play a crucial role in the upcoming General Convention. And isn't that why we're here anyway? In today's episode, we are joined by Deputy Ryan Kusumoto and Deputy Zena Link from the Constituting Group for the Episcopal Church Coalition for Racial Equity and Justice for an informative conversation on the church's commitment to dismantling systematic racism and building a more just and equitable community for all its members. They are joining me to share about the critical work being undertaken by the Constituting Group and the work that was accomplished on the Presiding Officer's Working Group for Truth-Telling, Reckoning, and Healing. So like always, let's start off with some background so we know how we got where we are today. The Episcopal Church, like so many institutions, has a complex history intertwined with systems of oppression and injustice, including complicity and direct benefit from the institutional and systematic systems of slavery, segregation, and racism. As people of faith, we are called to face this painful past, to tell the truth about it, and to work towards healing and reconciliation, which our current presiding bishop, Michael Curry, has helped us as Episcopalians work towards these goals by spearheading these efforts. Notably for us today, one of these efforts occurred back in 2021. During the pandemic, as our country was grappling with racial injustice from the murders of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and so many others, the presiding officers at the time, which included Presiding Bishop Michael Curry and my predecessor, the Reverend Gay Clark Jennings, formed a committee to develop proposals for addressing the church's historic and contemporary complicity with racial injustice. As a part of this, I was appointed to be part of this committee. And I'm getting all emotional. And I was appointed to be a part of this committee, and we quickly discerned that our name would be changed to the Presiding Officers Working Group on Truth-Telling, Reckoning, and Healing. We intentionally left off the word reconciliation from our name because we believed that as people, we too quickly chase after reconciliation before walking the path to get there, which includes telling the truth, reckoning with our past, and healing. With the 80th General Convention ahead of us, We had only a few short months to do our work, so we rolled up our sleeves and we bonded through the process of doing this type of work. And we frequently reminded ourselves that we could only do this work at the speed of trust. A few months before the 80th General Convention, we developed a series of the most ambitious resolutions regarding racial truth-telling that our church had ever seen. In 2022, the 80th General Convention of the Episcopal Church passed all of the resolutions, including one calling for the establishment of the Episcopal Coalition for Racial Equity and Justice. From this resolution, A125, a constituting group was then formed to develop the structure and to launch the new coalition. So, from my perspective, as the newly elected President of the House of Deputies, I appointed Deputy Ryan Kusumoto to chair the constituting group. And that also included colleagues that I had worked for alongside for a really long time, such as Deputy Zena Link. The goal of the coalition is to be a voluntary network dedicated to prioritizing racial equity and to move forward and amplify the work endorsed by General Convention resolutions. It was established as an independent nonprofit, while at the same time, funding for the coalition is planned to come from a portion of the Episcopal Church's unrestricted funds. This demonstrates the church's commitment to resourcing this important work. The Episcopal Church's establishment of the Coalition for Racial Equity and Justice with its constituting group represents a significant step in the church's ongoing efforts to address racial injustice and work towards true reconciliation. Deputies Kusumoto and Link today will share their insights and experiences from the front lines of this transformative work, discussing the vision, challenges, and hopes for the coalition's impact within the church and beyond. The coalition aims to address racial injustice, promote equity, and foster healing and reconciliation across the Episcopal community. So let's dive right in. Welcome, Deputy Ryan Kusumoto and Deputy Zena Link to the podcast.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you for having
So
us.
let's part of what we have come to learn about having this podcast is that it's a great way for deputies to meet other deputies, either each other. This one's unique in that you're both serving on the same interim body, so you already know each other. But maybe some listeners don't know you all. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you live, your diocese, your ministry? Ryan, why don't we start with you?
All right. Hello, everyone. I'm Ryan Kusumoto. I am here in the Diocese of Hawaii on the Aina or the sacred land that belonged to the Kanaka Maoli or the Native and Indigenous people of Hawaii. And I serve, this church as I'm called. I currently sit as a trustee for the Church Pension Fund, the Diocesan Treasurer, been to General Convention a few
Just a few.
times.
Well, you'll be a senior deputy, won't you?
I will
You'll
be
have
a
that
senior
ribbon.
deputy. I am grateful to serve and honored to serve as the convener for the constituting group for the Episcopal Coalition.
Cool.
Thank you
Oh,
for
thank you,
having me.
Ryan. Zena, tell us about where you're at and what your ministry is.
Hi, I'm Zena Link, and I'm in the Diocese of Western Massachusetts, the native land of the Pawtucket. And my ministry, wow, it's a wide-ranging ministry, but my ministry with the church has been, I've served in the deputation of the church for several years. Unlike Ryan, this will just be my third deputation. But I've had the pleasure to also serve in capacities with legislative committees and with executive council and other functions within the church. But I'm a full-time educator and community organizer.
Yeah, thank you, Zena. So, on our podcast, we have a icebreaker question after we get to know you all and to make it a little bit more playful. So our icebreaker question for you all is, what is the weirdest thing you've ever eaten for breakfast that is not a breakfast food? It's a very thoughtful look from Ryan Kusumoto. You have any odd breakfast food or non-breakfast food breakfast experiences?
Does leftovers from the night
Yeah, what
before
kind of
count?
leftovers though?
I
I think we've all done the cold pizza,
Yeah,
so that doesn't count.
like some like seafood leftovers from the previous night or Chinese food leftovers for breakfast. Sometimes leftovers taste better the
It's
next day,
true.
not
It's
always.
true. What about you, Ryan?
I don't have something weird that I have eaten for breakfast, but I would say this is a little odd when I talk to people who are not from Hawaii. Hawaii is the largest consumer of spam, and that is a staple for us. That can be breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's not weird for me, but I know it's something that every time I bring that up, it's an interesting point that for folks from Hawaii that we
Yeah,
always bring
that
up.
goes back to like World War II, World War One, and like rations.
I grew up on spam.
Yeah.
I grew
On
up on
spam.
that.
Oh yeah. When the pandemic hit in Oklahoma, I got Ovaltine, spam, all that kind of stuff and to put in the pantry. Remember when it was only going to be 2 weeks long and we were all going to hunker down? Those were the days. All right, so let's dive right into your work and talking about what deputies can start to expect at this general convention and then going forward. So, can you inform deputies about the work that you all have been doing on the constituting group and the resolution that you have coming to general convention this summer?
Zina, did you want to start first or you want me to go?
You can start.
All right. Thanks, Zina. And thank you, President Ayala Harris. You framed it up really well. And I think you had a really nice insight being a part of back in 2022, the presiding officers working group on truth telling, reckoning, and healing. And, that really helped the constituting group really start its work and really look at ways in which we could form the vessel for the coalition to acknowledge and address or find a pathway for truth and reconciliation, especially regarding the church's complicity with racism and white supremacy. And so we took that charge from that resolution, or one of the resolutions that was created by the working group, A125, and started our work and began to have a number of conversations around this church to help inform how best to form the Episcopal Coalition. And so over the past year and a half, we've been hosting those conversations, listening sessions, and really, really looking to hear from constituents and potential constituents of the coalition to understand what the coalition could be for individuals, for dioceses, for parishes, and other organizations to support this work across the church in terms of racial justice and equity and dismantling white supremacy. And through all that, those discussions and conversations we had, we were able to form, and you alluded to it, a structure that's a separate nonprofit organization that's alongside the church, separate from the church, but alongside. And those conversations we had really helped us create this sort of structure that allows for this organization to build those relationships, to have those conversations, to share information, to encourage networking, and to really be a place where this work can be centered and spread throughout our church. And so just sort of wanted to be clear, because some of the questions we always get was there's a little bit of confusion with the term or the constituting group and the coalition. Just wanted to clarify that in 2022, the General Convention formed the coalition. The coalition is established. What our task was as a constituting group was really to make sure that there was a vehicle or a vessel for which, or the legal structure for which the coalition could operate. And so that's what we did. And we are almost ready, I would say, to turn that over. It's in the final stages, I would say, of that. And the presiding bishop and the president of the House of Deputies is they're going to have an opportunity to sign those documents.
And by the time this airs, that will have happened. So it is future and now and past.
Very good. And so that, you know, we'll have that, the coalition will officially be formed and ready to do this important work. And you highlighted the resolution at this mm-hmm. general convention. So moving forward to the 2024 general convention, you know, the critical part to do this work was how are we going to fund this work? Now, A125 back in 2022 included in that resolution in 2022 that we commit, or the church commit, a part of its annual income from DFMS to support the coalition. What we're putting forward, what the presiding officers will be putting forward to this coming general convention is a resolution that affirms that in church canon. So really affirms the funding for the coalition in the canons of the Episcopal Church.
So can you, for our listeners who are saying to themselves, okay, so the coalition exists and A125 articulated some of the funding and the structure, but the constituting group really fleshed out the structure, then why is there this resolution that affirms the funding? Can you go a little bit more into that for our listeners so that they know what it is they're potentially, you know, voting or not voting for?
Sure. So with anything, we wanted to make sure that this wasn't something that, you know, as, you know, when leadership changes, when priorities change, when, you know, other things become a concern for this church, that the work of the Episcopal Coalition wasn't a casualty in any of that. And by putting it and establishing it in canons, it allows it to sort of withstand some of those issues that could come up for the church. It's a little bit more sticky that way.
Canons are sticky.
Yeah. And so we wanted to make sure that that was something that sort of stood the test of time and didn't change with sort of where the winds were blowing with the church at the time. And so with anything, like I said, you know, we've seen new priorities mm-hmm. arise, leadership mm-hmm. change. This was a way for us to ensure that as time moves on, this work could continue. This important work could continue beyond the yeah. triennials.
Yeah.
Through right. triennials.
But the canonical change will allow us to enshrine in perpetuity doing racial justice and equity work regardless of whatever else the priorities of the church might be at the time. So it's really important in that way. Zena, did you want to add anything to that?
I mean, what Ryan said was really, I mean, he was very thorough with the things that he was saying. And there was a truth telling process and reckoning with institutions and how institutions reset themselves. And I think Ryan did an excellent job of explaining that, because historically the church has wanted to do and has set out to do different forms of racial equity and justice mm-hmm. work. And there's these resets that happen that don't allow the continuum mm-hmm. of work. And there's a breadth of experience and commitment from many facets of the church that will be able to access some of these resources. But it's also, the coalition is also about relationship building. Mm-hmm. It's not just about financial resources, but relationship building and the ability to form bonds with people who are doing similar work or who need support with the work that they're doing. And so that's one of the things that I find really exciting about that. And one of the things that we talked about as a working group was just the realms of wholeness and peace in the process for people who were able to access the benefits that the coalition will
so,
have.
So Zena, you just set us up perfectly because my next question was going to be, you know, can you tell us about the work of the Episcopal Coalition for Racial Equity and Justice? And what is that work going to be? How can deputies get involved? And you just talked about how it's more about relationship building. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure, absolutely. The website is actually currently up. We have a coalition website that's up that people can access. And one of the things that it does, it takes us through some of the listening sessions that have already happened. And as we continue to develop that website, there'll be more additional resources. But it's really when going to the listening sessions and being very deliberate and hearing the concerns of people, some people felt very isolated in the work that they did, whether it was in their congregation or within their diocese, because as individuals, people have different ministries that they're drawn to. The coalition allows people to collaborate with one another and to engage not just within their church, but in their local communities and local organizations as well, where they have mutual and respectful ideologies about humanity and moving God's purpose in the world further. And so that's the part that excites me, the ability to collaborate and work with other dioceses and with other churches in ways. And I think it's just really, really exciting.
That's really...
And for some people, they do need the resources, mm-hmm. right? They haven't been able to access the amount of resources. There are people who have had the benefit when we were listening to some of the listening sessions. Sometimes they were able to access grants from the Episcopal Church, but it wasn't quite enough to continue the work, right? That there was more that was needed. And so it's... These are some of the things that the coalition will offer.
That's wonderful. For and for our listeners, the website is episcopalcoalition.org. So you can check out this introductory website that they have going with their amazing logo called episcopalcoalition.org. Ryan, did you want to add some more to that?
Well, you know, I think Zena said it really well. And, you know, as we were hosting these conversations and these listening sessions, it was clear that the coalition could do a number of things for individuals, dioceses, organizations. And, you know, it really fell under these buckets of facilitating, coordinating, encouraging, supporting, and networking. You know, we heard, like Zena mentioned, like there could be one person in a diocese that is doing this work mm-hmm. and nobody else. And that person may not know or may need other resources or would like to connect with someone else and may have a hard time finding that individual in other dioceses or across the church. And the coalition was designed to really support that work, as well as even organizations that, or dioceses that are very sophisticated in this work. But it fell under those buckets of facilitating, coordinating, encouraging, supporting, and networking. And those conversations really helped us kind of form that. And the website is, as Zena mentioned, is you can see a lot of the work and conversations that have been mm-hmm. hosted. As it progresses, you'll start to see the development of those other areas that we want to do, like maybe provide resources or create space for conversations mm-hmm. to occur. Host other types of conversations or lift up the conversations that are currently already happening across
that's
the church.
A really, I'm so glad that you said that, Ryan, because one of the ways I think that we can break down silos that people feel or that isolation is when we lift up stories, because we know that there's such good work that's going on and so much learning that we could have across the church. But like Zena had mentioned, in these grants that sometimes, you know, people are able to get, they're also not able to tell about their successes or their struggles or their challenges. So to have a space to be able to share the stories and to lift them up, and not just like success stories, but real life ministry stories, I think will be even more beneficial than maybe we can realize. And so that's just really, in and of itself, that's really exciting, because that's part of the relationship building that Zena was saying.
And one of the things that I found exciting having these conversations, that there are people who are willing to share videos of their work, like literally walk us through their mm-hmm. space, whether it's in the community or whether it's in their local church. And so ultimately we'll start also attaching some of these things to the website as well. And people will have different parishes that they can reach out to, different community organizations, and be able to say, hey, these are some of the things that we're looking at doing.
That's so exciting.
And one of the things I think I should add is that when you go to the website, you can sign up to join the coalition. And joining the coalition is something that you just do to get information and to be part of something. There's no financial commitment or obligation to join the coalition. The purpose of joining the coalition is to have access to information.
Perfect. That was the next thing I was going to ask. Go ahead, Ryan. You look like you're going to add something.
Well, I'm so glad Zena mentioned that. You know, it was in our conversations, you know, language was really important, that, you know, language mm-hmm. matters. And we wrestled with, like, what, you know, how do we bring folks into the coalition, and talked about what does that look like. Zena highlighted the fact that you know, there's no fee mm-hmm. for this, right? And participation is voluntary. We want it to be as inclusive as possible. And you're not bound to it by some sort of financial fee mm-hmm. or contribution. You know, it reflects sort of a broader, more inclusive understanding of community beyond like the traditional organizational structure, membership. And so we moved away from that word members or membership. And we really want to stress the role of participants in the coalition. And we even ensured that we highlighted that even within the bylaws and the other incorporating documents, that it's not members,
participants. Oh, I really love that. And modeling that inclusivity, right? So that it's not, that there could be so few barriers to participation in the coalition. Mm-hmm. So as we look forward, we know that we have General Convention happening right now online. We're talking about it. Legislative committees are meeting, they're having hearings. And then we'll also have an in-person part of General Convention this summer in Louisville. What are you most excited about for this general convention? Zena, how about you go first?
I mean, I think I'm really excited about being in person. Even though we were in person at the last general convention, it was a modified mm-hmm. general convention. We weren't able to sing and hold hands and be in relationship in the way that we've historically been in relationship with one another at general conventions. So I'm looking forward to, there's a fellowship mm-hmm. of presence too. And then as we're talking about different resolutions and hopes and fears, you know, there's a shared sense of success. There's shared sense of sorrow. There's multiple ways in which we really have the opportunity to be in relationship with one another. And I really, really am looking forward to that. And I'm also looking forward to the fact that it brings us together from a local, state, and national mm-hmm. level. It's a reconnecting of people that we've done work with for many, many years throughout the church in different capacities, and to see people and to celebrate new people coming into the house, but also mourning the loss of some people who are no longer with us.
It's that big family reunion, right? Yeah.
It is.
What are you excited about, Ryan?
I would double down on what Zena said. The relationship piece and being in person and being able to do this important work for us and each other and for our church and continue to move us closer to Jesus, I think is what I always get excited about with regards to General Convention. I really look forward to having more conversations there was a subcommittee of the constituting group who was tasked to, you know, roll out communications around the for the coalition. And, you know, we're looking to host conversations at General Convention with folks who are there so that we can, you know, really start to do that work as the coalition, not as the constituting group, but as the coalition moving forward.
Will you all be in the exhibit hall?
We're working on space right now. So I think we're going to, at bare minimum, we're going to be in different places, you know, maybe potentially at different already established plenary sessions that people are hosting. We'll be there. But we're looking for a potential space to host a conversation.
So listeners can find the Episcopal Coalition for Racial Equity and Justice at General Convention somewhere. And likely it'll be on your website, right?
We'll place it on our website. But, you know,
definitely.
Oh, go ahead, Zena.
No, I was just going to say it's definitely going to be on the website. And we are planning on having a presence there. And part of the coalition spirit, so to speak, is the consultation, you know, would like to speak with us and also write different things about the work we're doing and ways that people can find us throughout our time in Louisville.
Wonderful.
And I would just say one of the things that I remember in our conversations was this resounding theme of what I'm looking forward to with regards to General Convention is really rolling out and talking more about the coalition, because there was this theme that is emerging about how this work, I mean, we know it's so critical, but it really does have an opportunity to breathe new life into the church. And it's a really sort of thinking about that, a really great opportunity for us to start seeing that happen, especially at this General Convention.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Deputies Kusumoto and Link. As we conclude this special episode that is distinctively beyond the Blue Book, I just want to highlight the amazing contributions of Deputy Ryan Kusumoto and Deputy Zena Link for their enlightening time with us, educating us about the Episcopal Coalition for Racial Equity and Justice, and for their valuable perspectives that have illuminated the vital work of the Constituting Group. To our listeners, thank you for joining us as we explored how the Episcopal Church is making social justice and racial equity a priority. Your engagement and curiosity drive this podcast, and we're eager to hear your thoughts and questions. Please feel free to contact us through our website or social media channels. Tune in to our next episode on May 29th, when we'll have yet another Beyond the Blue Book special episode, and that will be the last episode of this season, so you do not want to miss it. Until then, keep reflecting and keep the faith at the center of your 81st General Convention journey. Thank you for listening to the House of Deputies Blue Book podcast. I hope that you've had a blast geeking out with me on church governance while also falling more in love with our beloved Episcopal Church. It has been an honor to share this time with our guests and with you, our listeners. Go in peace.